Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you're listening for the duration of the program, for it is our purpose to speak only those things found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question or a comment concerning something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question and Bible subject that you've been studying and would like for us to spend time and study on this program, be free to, and sure to let us hear from you. You can do so by the address given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. Jesus was God, manifest in the flesh. The Apostle Paul declared in 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." It's from the beginning, when sin had entered the world, that God promised that the seed of woman would come to destroy the work of Satan. So began a long chain of promises concerning a child to be born. Eve, Adam, Jacob, Judah, David, the fulfillment of this indeed would be one come in the flesh. And as we open the New Testament, we find people eagerly waiting for this promised child, the Messiah. With the birth of Jesus, we see the fulfillment of this promised man-child. Reading through the New Testament, one needs to be impressed with how often it's specifically stated that Christ, indeed, was in the flesh. And so John begins his gospel with the statement that the Word was with God and the Word was God. And such Word became flesh. Let's look at John 1 and read the first three verses. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Now let's drop down to verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So we see then that when John later writes what we call his first letter, he states that he is writing in, and let's read this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the Word of life." See, such required that the Word was indeed come into flesh, so that they could touch, could see, and they could hear. And he then proclaimed that only those who are antichrist would deny that He came in the flesh. Let's read 1 John 4, verses 2 and 3. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." See, he even goes on and again states that those who would not confess that Jesus come in the flesh were deceivers and antichrist. In the second letter of John, in 2 John, it's in chapter 1 and verse 7, "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." Paul even began his letter to the Romans when he said that Jesus was indeed the promised child of David according to the flesh. Romans 1 and verse 3. In fact, the writer of Hebrews applies a couple of quotes from the Old Testament showing that Jesus was one with his brethren. And then he goes on to explain it means that Jesus was indeed a partaker of flesh and blood. Hebrews 2 and verse 11, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." And then it's dropped to verse 14. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he," referring to Christ, "also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject unto bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." So, as such, his coming into the world fulfilled the promise that the Father had indeed prepared a body for me. Hebrews 10 and verse 5. In fact, the experiences of Jesus also shows that indeed he had become flesh. The recorded events of his life, they include the facts that he was born of a woman. Luke 2, verse 7, we see that being the case. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, as Luke 2 and verse 7 says. We read that he hungered, Matthew 4, verse 2, Matthew 21, verse 18. He ate, Luke 24, 43, and Matthew 11, 19. He knew thirst, John 4, verse 7, John 19, verse 28. He knew tiredness, John 4, verse 6. He slept, Matthew 8, 24, Mark 4, verse 8. He cried, Luke 19, 41, John 11, verse 35. As Isaiah prophesied, he was a man of sorrow and grief, and we see that exactly being the case in Luke 22, 44, and in John 11 and verse 3, as well as John 12, verse 27. His head was anointed with oil by a woman, Matthew 26, 7. Another woman washed and anointed his feet in Luke 7 and verse 38. He wore clothes, Mark 15, verses 17 through 20. He was treated insolently in a number of passages, Matthew 26, 67, Luke 22, verses 63 through 65, just being some of them. He was scourged, as Matthew records in chapter 27, verse 26, and John does in John 19, verse 1. He was crucified on the cross, as Luke account records it in chapter 23, and John records it in Matthew and John 19. He was put in a grave, Matthew 27, 59, and 60. See, without doubt, the Word became flesh. And the greater question then is why? Why would the divine Word humble himself to such an existence? Well, several passages in the New Testament answer this question. First, by doing such, he gives proof to us that God indeed loves us, and that we have a faithful high priest who can be touched with the infirmities of our fleshly existence. So because of this, we can approach God with confidence and assurance that he will accept us. Listen to Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Second, the reason why he did this is through becoming flesh, he became an acceptable sacrifice for sin, and thus through him, through his death, salvation is provided for man. Hebrews 5, beginning with verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him. And thirdly of all, the reason that he came to this earth to such an existence is that by such sacrifice of his fleshly self, he has opened the door for all of mankind to come and be united in one body of people, the church. In such death, which necessitated his life in the flesh, he took away the old law. He broke down the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile, and he created one new man. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, beginning, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So we see then that another reason, by coming flesh and offering up his body as a sacrifice for sin, he's provided a new and a living way into the very presence of God, as Hebrews 10, verse 20 teaches. And fifthly of all, his living in the flesh is now an example unto us, teaching us how we ought to walk before God. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were we called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. While we may not be able to explain the ins and the outs of God's thinking in regard to all of this, and how that such could happen, we can trust that God indeed did all of this for us. We're asked to believe it, to trust it, and to obey, and to follow him. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock PM. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.